Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do it, boys and girls, children of all ages. We're live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 206, and also the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always give me a follow, shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. We're here with you all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. We have not one, not two, but three awesome guests for you. Coming up at the top of the hour, Ryan McDonough, the radio.com NBA insider, former front office executive, will stop by. We'll try to figure out what the heck has happened to the Boston Celtics, and is there any concern with the Los Angeles Lakers? Because according to what radio program you listen to and what radio host you listen to, and just a disclaimer, this was not me. It was not Zach Gelb who you were listening to. But one radio host somewhere on another network going into Lakers and Jazz said that this was a statement game for the Lakers and it was a statement game for LeBron James. Did anyone actually believe that it was a statement game for the Lakers? Did anyone actually believe that it's a statement game for LeBron James? Yeah, you may be in the moment panicking. Oh, the Lakers, they've looked horrible since Anthony Davis has been hurt. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to panic over the regular season in the NBA when it comes to the Los Angeles Lakers and when it comes to LeBron James, especially when maybe there were some questions last year about the Lakers at times and what ended up happening. The Lakers did what? They won it all. So I'm not telling you they're going to win it all again this year. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about the long-term health for this season with Anthony Davis, because if Anthony Davis can't come back and perform at an elite level, they won't win the championship game. But the fact that they didn't show up against the Jazz, and I even put the tweet out at halftime, when I was a 16-point deficit at halftime, the Lakers should go back to the locker room at halftime, pack up all their equipment, get on the plane, go back to L.A., and quite frankly, just end the season right there, because this is a statement game. So I know a lot of the narrative and the conversation will be all about the Lakers, Lakers this, Lakers that. Can we give some credit to Utah? Because what the Utah Jazz have done this entire season, to only have six losses, that's mind-boggling. And Utah was a good team last year. Utah was a very good team last year. They have elevated themselves, and they are taking that next step in the regular season. And even if you were the most optimistic Utah Jazz fan in the world, I don't think anybody could have predicted that they would have not only the best record at this point of the season, getting ready for the All-Star break next weekend, the best record in the West, but they have the best record in the entire NBA. So I love what I'm seeing from Donovan Mitchell, from Rudy Gobert, from Jordan Clarkson off the bench. You name it with the Jazz, I approve. And I wonder if they could match the intensity, match the performance that we're seeing in the regular season when the postseason does come around. So we'll talk some hoops in about 55 minutes with Ryan McDonough. Then at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Baseball Hall of Famer, tremendous pitcher, tremendous broadcaster, And now we'll see if he is a tremendous golfer. We'll tell you more about that. John Smoltz will stop by. And then at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, we will do a little NFL prospect talk. We will look at one of the tackles for the Clemson team from a year ago. And he's getting ready for the NFL draft. Jackson Carman will join us. So a whole lot to do. We're coming to you live, as always, on the Zach Gelb Show from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. We need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life. Rocket can, and we will also do a little early QB carousel today. That will be coming your way in 35 minutes. Only one team today. We'll spin the wheel. We'll see what that team will be. And I'm going to tell you this now. It is not the Seattle Seahawks. It is not the Houston Texans. But wherever that wheel is going to land on, I'm going to communicate to the people that picked that. I'm going to talk to the sports gods. I'm going to implore you. And oh, you're giving me that information right now? Yeah, that's right. It's going to have to do something. Even though we're not talking Seahawks, even though we're not talking Houston and the QB carousel, and it's not going to be highlighting those two teams. It will have to do, though, in some capacity with Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. And let's start the show with that. Because did we get a bombshell article today by The Athletic? So how should we start this article? Before we get into the Russell Wilson response, before we get into the tweets from Adam Schefter and the real compelling information about who the teams are that Russell Wilson may be interested in, let's just take you back to the first nine games of the season. And going into game number 10, it was a short week, Thursday night football, going up against the Arizona Cardinals. And Russell Wilson was coming off a few games where the turnovers started to be ramping up in frequency. And there started to be more turnovers with this play on a football field. Because if you recall, the first half of the year was let Russ cook. And then the second half of the year, we did see some changes to the Seahawks offense. So this was in the Athletic article leading into that Thursday night football game. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona, Wilson met with his coaches for some time. Wilson has sought, even pushed, for the influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas for how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Multiple, not just one, multiple sources told the Athletic. Another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself as a player who had earned the greater control over his situation, his future, and his legacy. So those suggestions were dismissed. Wilson was mad. And then what happened in that meeting? You think they just got up, shaked hands, maybe sat around, had a little tea party? No. Russell Wilson, he didn't flip the table. Wouldn't that be something? If Russell Wilson said, I'm out of here, and flipped the table, that's always a boss move if you could do that, by the way. If you get in an argument with someone and you have a lot of things on the table and you really want to put an emphasis or an exclamation point on the point that you're trying to make and really make it a dramatic situation, you flip the table. Well, Russell Wilson, he didn't flip the table, but he stormed out of the meeting and he stormed out of the room. So to recap that, Thursday night game, you're getting set for the Cardinals. There's been turnover problems. He goes into a meeting with the Seahawks brass, with Pete Carroll. I want to do this, X, Y, Z. This is what I'm thinking. We're not listening to you. We don't want your input. Boom. Okay. I'm Russell Wilson. I'm out. Screw you. That's what we're led to believe from the Athletic. Now, if that's just a report today, yeah, it does raise an eyebrow. Yeah, you go, ooh and ah, but I don't think it's enough just that information to lead a radio program with. So you're telling me there's more, Zach? Yep, I am. And before I give you more of the information, let me just first state this. When this news first came out, when we heard that there were some problems with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, I didn't roll my eyes at it, but I did say, I don't think Russell Wilson's getting traded this offseason. And I still think Russell Wilson long-term is going to stay with the Seahawks. I remember saying that. But I also remember saying this. that I don't think anything drastically is going to change this year. And what I mean by that, Pete Carroll's not going anywhere. He's going to be the coach of this football team this season. And Russell Wilson is going to be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks for this season. But when Russell Wilson then took to the Dan Patrick show and did that interview and then did the press conference with the local Seattle media after winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, I remember saying, where there's smoke, there could be a fire. Currently, I think the fire is a small fire, but it could spread wildly if you don't put that fire out. And I still think we're in the small stages of a fire. Maybe today with the information I'm about to give you, the fire has grown a little bit bigger, but I don't think a divorce is imminent yet. Still, I'll still stand by that with the Seattle Seahawks. I'll explain that in a little bit, but you continue to raise eyebrows when you get back to this Athletic report and it says, according to sources, or actually let me backtrack here just for a second. It says Wilson's frustrations has escalated to the point that his camp, has broached potential trade destinations with the Seahawks. According to sources from The Athletic, those include one mentioned in the Lock and Fora column the day of the Super Bowl, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders. So those are the teams that The Athletic has put out there. They go on to say, some people around the league think a trade could happen. If not this offseason, then sometime in the near future. So once again, I'll stand by what I said. And I still think this is the case. Russell Wilson's not going anywhere this offseason. Now, next offseason, if he feels as if the problems aren't addressed, then maybe he'll go to management and say, time's over. I want out. I'm done. Or maybe he'll say to the ownership group, you got to pick between me or you got to pick between Pete Carroll. Because this, let's call this what this is. This is a Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll problem. Russ wants to cook. Pete Carroll wants to be a little bit more conservative. So when you really look at this, does maybe some of the way that Russell Wilson's career has played out factor into this? Absolutely. And I think that they are reopening some old wounds because if you remember when the Seahawks were going to those back-to-back Super Bowls and they won the first Super Bowl and then lost the second one when Russell Wilson threw the pick at the goal line. That was not Russell Wilson's team. I'm not saying he wasn't an important part of the team, but when you think of that team, you think of the Legion of Boom first. You think of Richard Sherman. You think of Cam Chancellor. You think of Earl Thomas. You think about Bennett and Averill. And offensively, you don't even think about Russ first. You think about Marshawn Lynch. And quite frankly, you think of Pete Carroll first before you do think of Russell Wilson too. And in the last few years, we saw a seismic shift in Seattle where most of those names I just mentioned are no longer there. And Bobby Wagner's still there. But now when you think of the Seattle Seahawks, who do you think of? This is Russ's team. This is Russ's team, and Russ is playing at an elite level. So I think now Russ looks around the league, and he sees what Brady's doing, and he sees how a new organization catered to Brady. And he also looks at guys like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, who are stuck on one Super Bowl. And even though Russ was not at the status of a Brees, a Rodgers, or Brady when he won his first Super Bowl, he's hungry for that second. And I wonder how much of this is an accountability problem, maybe even with Russell Wilson. Because if you go into this article with The Athletic, this is another quote that I like. This is from his friend, and then it gives a follow-up. And I do believe this was a Seahawks hit piece, hit job piece. I think a lot of these sources, I don't know that for a fact, but that's just me guessing. It seems as if this is the Seahawks who were quiet through all this when Russ was speaking publicly. This is the Seahawks kind of punching back. So Robert Turbin, who is Wilson's former teammate and groomsman at his wedding, said the reason that we're here talking about this current situation is because he's on pace to be the most sacked QB in the history of the NFL. And I understand, some of it Russ has held on to the football too long, But when you look at the 7-8 years of just habitually getting hit way too many times, I get why there's frustration there. But in this Athletic article, it does say, and this is the Seahawks side of it, even though it's not directly linked to the Seahawks in this article because it says sources, others see the situation differently. After Wilson had the worst stretch of his career in the season's final 8 games, he's finally catching heat, one person told the Athletic. That's the main reason for all this. People are talking and holding him accountable because he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks. He says he wants to be the greatest. So now people are holding him to that standard. It's a PR game, that person added. He's trying to protect himself. Another source agreed, what he's trying to do is save face. And you wonder if that's how some think in the organization, if that is in fact coming from the organization. If you're Russell Wilson, maybe you're starting to think when you read this Athletic article, because if I'm Russ, I'm thinking this is coming from the organization firing back, and you don't know specifically who. Well, does the organization believe in me anymore? And Russell Wilson is a great quarterback. I don't use that word lightly. I think Russell Wilson is a great quarterback, but you can be a great quarterback and be stuck on one Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was stuck on one Super Bowl for a long time. Ended up getting a second. Drew Brees, stuck on one Super Bowl. Career probably going to come to a close soon. I don't think he's coming back. Aaron Rodgers, stuck on one Super Bowl. And with what Brady has done by winning 7, now just winning one Super Bowl, yes, it's an accomplishment. Yes, it's greatness. But a lot of times now, if you want to get into that GOAT conversation, you got to win multiple Super Bowls to even be looked at as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Now, do I still think Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? Yes. Heck, Dan Marino never won a ring. I still think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But there's a difference of a logical take by me compared to our society now and how that GOAT conversation carries so much clout. And let's be real, where does that conversation usually occur? Twitter and other programs. And now if you don't have multiple rings, people kind of look down on you at the quarterback position. So anyway, let's wrap this up full circle before we hit a break. So I gave you the teams that the Athletic said that the Wilson camp broached the Seahawks with. The Wilson camp has responded to Adam Schefter. This is what Schefty said. Seahawks QB Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. His agent Mark Rogers told ESPN, Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to, and listen to this list, Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Raiders, Bears, and Cowboys? What the heck is going on out here? Saints I could at least see, but really? You want to go to the Bears? And that, to me, the way that this is worded, I don't love. Oh, yeah, he wants to stay in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, I'll give you those four teams. If you really wanted to stay in Seattle and you were fully committed to Seattle, why would you even give us in the media this low-hanging fruit and just say, oh, let me throw out four teams right there? That's almost as if, like, when I go on a diet, I go to Trace. Man, Trace, I just started this diet. By the way, what are you ordering for dinner tonight? Trace tells me, oh, like I'm ordering some pasta. Oh, if you ordered a pizza, you know, that would be a good thing to get into the newsroom. Now, I don't want to eat the pizza, but if you ordered it, I wouldn't turn it down. But it's your decision. So I don't really love how the Wilson camp did word that. We'll get into some of those other teams, and we'll really break down those teams in just a second. But here's what I'll say, bottom line in this Russell Wilson situation. I do think both will be back for this upcoming season. Pete Carroll's under contract through 2025. Russ has 3 years left on the deal. I don't think they're trading Russell Wilson this offseason. What happens this year, though, will be very telling. They were 12-4 last year, declined down the stretch. They were a team that going into the playoffs, I didn't think had a shot to get to the Super Bowl, and they were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl, and Russ was my preseason pick to be the league MVP, and something changed. And maybe why the play became so poor was because of this relationship with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Is this a relationship that is beyond repair? I'm not going to go as far to say that, but the results of this year will be very telling. And I want to know if Pete and Russ could get back on the same page and make this an amicable relationship, which it has been for so many years. And I'll give you just one series of information before we take the timeout. Russell Wilson, before that stormout meeting leading into that Thursday night game up against the Cardinals, had 28 passing touchdowns on the year, 10 interceptions, and averaged 37.1 passing attempts per game in 9 games. After that meeting that got contentious and he stormed out, his passing attempts per game went down to 32.1. That's in 7 games, and he only threw 12 passing TDs and 3 INTs. The reason I give you that, because what is everyone going to look at first? Oh, the passing touchdowns, 28 to 12. What I look at, though, first, when they were letting Russ cook, he turned over the football a lot. Yeah, he threw a lot of touchdowns, had 10 interceptions. When they started to scale it back a bit, he only had 3 interceptions the rest of the way. Now, in the first half of the season, the offense was more explosive. The offense was more memorable. In the second half of the season, even though the turnovers did go down, it was a pedestrian offense. So here's what I'll say. People say, let Russ cook. I think there is some partial truth to that. You got to let Russ cook, but you got to let Russ cook in a smart way. And what has to happen is Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll need to be in the same kitchen, and they need to learn how to share that kitchen. Should Russell Wilson be in control of making the filet mignon? Yes, he should be. But Pete also has to marinate the filet mignon and also add his seasoning to it. I think you have to find middle ground here, where you could still have an aggressive offense, but not take it to a level where it can be detrimental to the team because of all the turnovers. Running the football is so big, but this is an aggressive, pass-happy, and pass-heavy league. So yes, the Seahawks should not mess this up. Yes, the Seahawks should continue their relationship with Russell Wilson. They should cater to Russell Wilson. But Pete can't give the entire reins of the offense over to Russell Wilson. Russ needs to be leading the way, but he needs a different voice in there, and it's up to Pete and Russ, and that's it, to make this thing work. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, at CBS Sports Radio. That's where you can find our poll question today. We opened up the show with that bombshell article from The Athletic, where they did say that Russell Wilson, according to some sources, some people in the NFL think a trade could happen in the near future. Supposedly also, when we go from Russell Wilson to Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson still wants to be traded from the Houston Texans. The Texans aren't budging. They're saying we're not trading him. We actually had communication in a meeting between Deshaun Watson and new head football coach Dave Culley. And you would think maybe that's encouraging if you're a Texans fan. Wow, gee golly, our quarterback finally meeting with the coach. Wah, wah, wah. Deshaun Watson still wants out, and he told Dave Culley probably, happy for you, congratulations, you seem like a nice guy, happy for you and your family, but do you know what you just signed up for? You signed up to work for a hypnotist in Jack Easterby, who's crazy, and also Cal McNair let this organization go from a playoff team to an absolute embarrassment and a clown show. So I don't want to be a part of it. Nothing against you. It's not you. It's almost as if you're breaking up with someone. It's not you, Dave. It's me. I still want out. And one of the Texans going to finally come around and say, Deshaun, we're going to give you that wish. Stay tuned. First round of the draft, April 29th. If he is not traded by April 29th, the morning of April 29th, if we don't have news, or right before that draft starts in prime time that Deshaun Watson has been traded, then this thing is going to get pretty ugly. Because if you're the Texans and you trade him after the draft, you look like a bunch of bozos because you don't know where that first round, one of those picks that you're going to get in the first round are going to fall. And maybe they'll stay true to their word. We're not trading him. And then Deshaun Watson, the question is how much or how long are you going to be willing to sit out for and how many games you're going to be willing to miss. So with both of those quarterbacks in the news, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, how will this play out before the 2021 season starts? That's the poll question today. Both will be traded. Neither will be traded. Just Watson will be dealt. and Just Wilson will be dealt. 2.2% say Just Wilson will be dealt. 16.5% say both will be traded. 30.8% say neither will be traded. And then 50.5% say Just Watson will be dealt. I'll give you my answer on that question a little bit later on in the show. So I told you that this article today from The Athletic, if I had to take the guess on who the sources were, they would be Seahawks driven. And they would be people, I don't know at what capacity. I'm not telling you that this is John Schneider. I'm not telling you that this is Pete Carroll. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I do believe that it's someone in the Seahawks organization. And here's why, or multiple people in the Seahawks organization. Because in the Athletic article, it was the Dolphins, the Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders have been mentioned as possible trade destinations by the Wilson camp. Some people in the NFL think a trade could happen in the near future. Now, I give you that information. You go, well, how does that show that this has anything to do with the Seahawks being behind that? Well, let me get to Adam Schefter's tweet. This we know is coming from the Wilson camp because it comes from his agent and Mark Rogers. Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. So let's look at The Athletic, who said the Dolphins, Jets, Saints, and Raiders, and then Schefter, Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Where are the similarities there? I see similarities with the Saints. I see similarities with the Raiders. But The Athletic throwing out the Dolphins and the Jets, to me, indicates that's coming from the Seahawks. Why? Because if the Seahawks are to trade Russell Wilson, and I don't think they're going to trade him before the draft. I don't think they're traded in this offseason. Why do you want to trade him to the Saints, who are in the playoffs? Why do you want to trade him to the Raiders, who are an 8-8 football team? Now, you do have a no-trade clause, Russell Wilson, so he could dictate where he wants to go. But if you're the Seahawks, you would want to throw out the Dolphins and Jets there. Why? Because the Dolphins had the third overall pick from the Texans, and the Jets had the second overall pick. It's almost the same thing with the Watson reports. Now, the Dolphins, it seems as if Watson would be okay going to the Dolphins, but the Jets, one day we hear that the Jets are the favorite to land him and Watson wants to go there. Other days we hear, not so much. He has no interest going to play for the Jets. So you wonder in these reports, how much is it from the Watson and Wilson camps and how much is it from the Texans and also the Seattle Seahawks? When we get to the teams that the agent said, when they go, we don't want to get traded, but if a deal does present itself, these are the teams that we would be interested in. Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. The Bears. Really? You want to go to the Bears? Good defense. Horrible coach in Matt Nagy. Horrible general manager in Ryan Pace. Who are you throwing the football to? We don't know if Allen Robinson's going to be back. And that offensive line improved a little bit during the season, but it's not a good offensive line. So I wouldn't want to go to the Bears. The Raiders, I don't trust John Gruden. Yeah, you got some weapons there and Waller and Ruggs, but I don't trust John Gruden whatsoever. And you're also going to a division with Patrick Mahomes. The Saints, I'd be down with the Saints. But the Saints are in salary cap purgatory right now. So when are they going to be able to swing that deal? If you get a player of the caliber of Russell Wilson, you find a way to make it work. But if I'm Russ, are the Saints definitely an upgrade? You got DK Metcalf, you got Tyler Lockett. Sure, the Saints have Michael Thomas who had a down year and Alvin Kamara, but you're stuck on one ring. Isn't Drew Brees stuck on one ring and they couldn't find a way to make it work? And then finally, the Cowboys. Matt, a little Dak and Russ swap and whatever picks that have to go that way as well. I don't think that trade happens. It would not surprise me if the Cowboys would want to do it. I don't think Seattle, not that you know, Dak could be attractive because Pete Carroll's not going to want to rebuild. But if you're trading Russell Wilson, you would think that you want to go get three first-round picks. But maybe with the Cowboys, that wouldn't be the case. Because you go get Dak, and Dak, he's a good quarterback. And him and Pete Carroll could finally probably find a relationship. So bottom line, I know we got to take a break. I don't think right now Russell Wilson's getting traded this year. But next year, I think if things don't go Russ's way and to Russ's liking, then yeah. We could definitely pick up the conversation on this, and I think talks would intensify, and then maybe it could become a reality.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Step right up here. Don't be
Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Miami Dolphins.
All right, let's head down to Miami. We'll highlight the Dolphins right now. We welcome in a former Dolphins tight end, a longtime team broadcaster that has been the morning drive host on 560 for many years, and that, of course, is Joe Rose. Joe, welcome back to the show. We appreciate it. A lot of conversation this offseason about maybe the Dolphins trading for a quarterback. We have the rumors left and right with Deshaun Watson and also Russell Wilson. What do you think the chances are that the Dolphins make a big blockbuster trade this offseason?
Well, I think it's still wide open. I think it's still wide open, and obviously you can imagine what a lot of the conversation's been down here is Deshaun Watson's made it pretty clear he doesn't want to play for the Texans, and one of the locations he'd like to end up in, and why not, is here in South Florida and play for the Miami Dolphins, and yet still telling Tua Tagovailoa he's the future of the franchise and we're going to build around him. So this thing's going to be really interesting. And, of course, the big piece is that third overall pick, which, by the way, I hope we never have another third-round pick ever, third overall pick ever again, unless it's something like this where we're lucky enough to get it through the Texans trade. But it's going to be really interesting, and I think it's a great leverage piece right now because so many teams look like they would like to move up into that third overall pick and get one of those young quarterbacks. It's an incredible story this offseason. We're one of the many NFL cities looking for a quarterback, right? Or do we have the right guy? And as one person told me with the Dolphins, listen, man, we're trying to figure out, do we have a front? We know Tua Tagovailoa is going to get better, but can he be an elite quarterback? And that's the big question going forward that the organization has to decide.
What do you think Tua can be if he is the guy next year?
Well, it's a great question. So, and I tell you, it's a broken record for 4 hours in the morning. But so he's going to get better. There is no question about it. He's down here. He's got great leadership. He's with those guys already. And all the time he missed last year, he's working on to get better timing, do some of the things that he saw Ryan Fitzpatrick do with the group that he played with. Most of the receivers that were all banged up are all healthy again, so he's going to have an off season to work with them. I just worry when I hear Tua Tagovailoa saying all the things that he said and all the national interviews that he's done, and you know, I got to play a lot better. I didn't do a good enough job, and I don't know if I'm the quarterback, and I want to be the quarterback. I just like to see him grab it. Listen, it sounds like, although every NFL city is saying this, we have our quarterback here. Well, yeah, you have your quarterback here, unless you get something better. And so I think Tua Tagovailoa, he's hearing the Deshaun Watson stuff too, and he knows this could be a location he ends up. So they've got that situation. I still think it's a long shot with trading for one of the for drafting one of the quarterbacks. I'm still not sure that's going to happen. But I think if they have to, they're ready to go forward with Tua Tagovailoa and really build around him and get some more speed on the offensive side of the football.
Is there a name, if they do keep Tua, if they stay in that number three draft slot? You hear DeVonta Smith, Joe Rose. Is DeVonta Smith kind of what the local sentiment has been? If they keep the pick, go out and get DeVonta Smith from Alabama?
Well, it was just according to the crush of the day. And, of course, he had one of the greatest games in the national championship game right here at Dolphin Stadium, where the Dolphins play at Hard Rock Stadium. So we got to see it up close for a little more than a half of some of the greatest wide receiver play we've seen in the history of college football. So everybody saw it and sees how good he is. There's no question about it. But I don't know if he's the guy. I think Waddle's picked up a lot of steam, whether they move down a little bit to grab him, maybe by far the fastest of the three guys. And I think the thing with Ja'Marr Chase is really going to start to pick up here too, even though he opted out. You know how it works, man. It's the last pretty girl you saw, man, is the one you're in love with. And so we'll see now that the opt-out guys are getting a chance to work out, and it seems like everybody likes them. Dolphins are going to bring in everybody they can and really evaluate all those guys. But I do expect him to grab one of those three wide receivers.
Getting back to the Watson situation, I know he still wants out, but the Texans don't want to trade him. If you were Chris Greer, the Dolphins general manager, and you get a phone call from Nick Caserio tomorrow, and he says, we want you to give up three first-round picks and Tua for Deshaun Watson, do you pull the trigger on that deal?
Yeah, I jump on it yesterday. Yep, I do. Proven guy, 25 years old. I know he's had some injuries. But you got a guy that can play. And by the way, on top of everything else, I mean, he's already been down here and had lunch and dinner with some of the players. It's the greatest tease of all time. Only here can you have that, where you find out some of your players that either played with them or know them from college, or because they went to the same school, have all gotten together down here in Miami, just to add on to the story here. But, yeah, I think, listen, there is no question the Dolphins are going to look into this. They would be. We'd have an owner going absolutely nuts in Stephen Ross if we didn't at least look at all our different options. And as far as that goes, don't think you don't make a call to Seattle too, to see if he wants to open up those four teams into a fifth team, and what it might take to get a 32-year-old Russell Wilson. We're talking about two of the elite, what, six or seven quarterbacks that we have in the National Football League. And it is incredible. I'm sure you've been talking about this a lot, too. It's just all the teams looking to upgrade. I've never seen this many teams saying, we need to get a better quarterback. We need to get somebody better that can play at a higher level, especially after watching the NFC and AFC championship games and how good those four quarterbacks were.
Joe Rose, would the Dolphins' preference be Watson over Wilson, I would imagine, because of the age?
Yeah, no question about it. 7-8 years difference, yeah. But, again, let's be honest, now that we're seeing all these quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, I mean, I know he plays in Seattle, so he's away from us here in South Florida. But the guy's never missed a game. I mean, the guy's incredibly durable and been really, really good. And at 32, with all these quarterbacks playing at 38, 39, 40, we just saw Breeze and see how well he was playing before he retired. And, of course, the guy that just won another Super Bowl, the GOAT, into his 40s. So 32, I think you're going to have, and by the way, don't think you'll be the only one. There's going to be a lot of teams looking into Russell Wilson.
Two more for Joe Rose. Let me get to Ryan Fitzpatrick. If they don't make a deal for Watson, if they don't make a deal for Wilson, and Tua is the starter, is there a chance that Fitzpatrick comes on back on like a 1 or 2 year deal?
I would say no shot that we see Ryan Fitzpatrick again. I think he saw and played great. We had a fan base that fell in love with him down here. I think what he did over the last 2 years, I could have him as my MVP easily for coming into this situation on what ended up being a 2 year rebuild. And some of the games that he had, including the game he had against the Raiders, was just incredible.
Insane.
To bring us back, come in the game, and get us to 10 wins. It's just amazing. So I think most people love Ryan Fitzpatrick around here, would love to have him back. I'm just not sure the team wants to go through this again. And listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think his mindset right now is he wants to be a starter in the NFL. He wants to play. So I expect that Ryan Fitzpatrick is like, hey, man, I'm coming off a pretty good 2 years with the Miami Dolphins under the circumstances. I'd like to get a starting job and get some money. I'm in love with playing this game. I don't want to retire. I don't think he wants to come here. Chan Gailey's no longer here, which was his guy. So I think the Dolphin thing was thank you for your opportunities, but I'm going to turn it into some more money and keep playing somewhere else and hopefully get some starts.
Last thing I'll ask you, Joe Rose. I love Brian Flores and what he's doing, winning with less down there so far in Miami, and I'm curious to see what it turns out to be. The only criticism, though, a lot of changes on the offensive side of the ball. Now going to be the third offensive coordinator as you get set for year number three, and it's going to be co-offensive coordinators. What can you tell us about what have been some of the problems with the coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, I would just say this. I think Coach Flores, another topic that pops up all the time, everybody's aware of it. And listen, if I was a player, last thing I want to do is have to worry about every offseason I got to be around to learn a bunch of new terminology, new colors, new numbers, new words that mean different things. I mean, listen, I don't want to have to be the smartest guy and try to figure it out while you're out there. And no, that was last year. You can't do that anymore. This is the way we want to do it. So I'm hoping the Miami Dolphins will stay, especially with this situation. We're still trying to figure out which coach will, of the two that were on the staff last year, will be calling the plays. But I think that the basic part of the offense will stay the same. I don't think they want Tua to have to start over, completely over again, and have to learn a new offense. So I'm guessing they want to keep it. But listen, Coach Flores, if he doesn't think you're doing a good job, or if you want to go somewhere else and coach with a buddy, go ahead, man. If you don't want to be here, and if you don't do a good job, even if you coach with him in New England forever, means nothing. He just looks at individual performance, and if he doesn't think you're getting the most out of your guys or coaching them up the way he wants, I guess we've all learned together, he will let coaches go in a heartbeat.
So there you go. That's Joe Rose joining us to give a little insight on the Dolphins. I think right now they'll say, yeah, we love Tua. Yeah, Tua's got to do this and that. I don't think they're committed to Tua, which it just shows you how quickly this business can change. All throughout last year, tank for Tua, tank for Tua, tank for Tua. You end up getting the fifth overall pick because of injuries. You get Tua. Now, would you get rid of Tua to get Deshaun Watson? I threw out 3 first-round picks and Tua. Sign me up. Absolutely. And if the Texans say, oh, we're not going to trade Watson, and maybe Seattle comes around to trade in Russell Wilson, which I don't think will happen this offseason. As Joe said it, 32 is Russ. We see quarterbacks play to their 40, 43 with Brady. Not that's going to happen with every quarterback. I give up a bunch of first-round picks and Tua Tagovailoa for Russell Wilson. But if they don't, third overall pick, could they go Penei Sewell? Yes, but I think they go for the splash player. And I'd be surprised if it's Waddle. It could be Jamar Chase. Until I see otherwise, though, I'll go with Devontae Smith from Alabama. Touchdown, Crimson Tide. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Ryan McDonough next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.